Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about those four letters, life, L-I-F-E. What the heck is it? Oh, I know what it is. You know, why are we having this conversation? I'm looking for life purpose, looking for life meaning. What is life all about? Oh, life really sucks. Oh, life is just a ball of wax. Or we hear all of these comments and we say, life is what you make it. You must create it. Oh my gosh, no, it's just what you're given. You were born into it. What really is life? What is it all about? And what is really existing in this world all about? Have we all gotten it wrong? Sometimes we say we just take those 27 letters and we turn around and we're making these sentences and these stories and it turns out to be a belief or a truth or a dogma. And everybody must follow it. You must get under that bell curve at all costs, because if not, we're going to find a way to get you there. Today, my guest is Jim Phillips. His book is The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression, Ancient Wisdom for a Modern World. Definitely interesting to talk with Jim today. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Hi. Well, thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, you're so welcome. Jim, don't you think those four letters can conjure up all kinds of things and we say, man, I just can't get over it. You know, I'm done with it. Give me another drink or send me on my way, right?
Yeah, it is.
You know?
It conjures up a lot of things for a lot of people, and it just depends on their perspective at that particular point in time when you might ask the question.
You know, I think it's when you hit a wall, don't you think? Or when you get a diagnosis, you have a life-altering event, you have something happen to you, either of pain of the body, mind, or spirit, as we would say, and people start questioning what it's all about. I think we see this rather often, don't you think?
I do. And really the purpose of my book is getting people to think about it before they get to that situation in life where maybe there's a tragedy,
right.
A tragedy or a difficulty or some life-altering experience, so that we can see that we really do have a lot more, I don't want to say control over life, but we have a lot more input into how life unfolds for us than I think we believe that we do.
Well, you know what also, too, is that life is not supposed to have a beginning, a middle, and end, and that's how the story goes. Really, life is in the moment, as, you know, you even say that in your book. Really, life is the moment, you know, because if you could have a very short life, a very long life, you could have a difficult life, you could have an easy life, but it's the moment that you're there, and it's really just the experience and how you choose to perceive it and live it through, correct?
Correct. In fact, the book, as you mentioned, the name of it is The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression. The word life is the acronym for living in full expression. So I believe that's what our purpose is. And a lot of people will say, well, my life purpose is, and they'll go on to saying what it is that they do.
Right.
And to me, that's not it. That's the purpose of life is to live in full expression. How we live in full expression is what we choose to do. And that can be our vocation. It can be our passions. It can be anything that we choose for it to be. But the actual life purpose is living in full expression. And I'll expand on that. It's living in full expression of our truth.
Right. Well, you know what, too? I think sometimes we aren't aware of exactly what our life is about, how we are living, when sometimes we have to stop and we look back. And that point of reflection kind of gives us a little bit more insight. You know, sometimes you're going through something and you've got all kinds of judgment, you've got all kinds of words for it and emotions and feelings, and you really just want to get through it. And then when you get on the other side, you can look back and say, now I see something else, or I see this, or I see that. And you see where you are now, and being able to just almost just to recognize those things, I think, is a little bit easier once you can look back. Yes?
Yes. And I think I mentioned perspective a few minutes ago, and it really that's key to anything that happens to us in life. We can have the exact same experience as somebody else, but come away from a totally different perspective of what it was that happened and how it might have benefited us or,
right,
in some cases, how it might have held us back. And so what I want people to understand is that when you look back on something, the key is don't get stuck there. Don't allow that to determine where you are or where you think it might take you or not allow you to go. It's just an experience you had. It's just what you've lived to that point in your life. And this moment, which as you just mentioned, is the only time there is. There isn't yesterday, there's not tomorrow. The only time that I can talk to you is right now. I can't talk to you tomorrow. I can talk, can't talk to you yesterday. So it's really about recognizing that when we are aware, and awareness is being in that present moment, then we have all these choices that we can make. Ideally, we're going to make choices that lead us to the experiences that we want to have in life. And ideally, they're all going to be very positive experiences.
You know, because, too, when you say about getting stuck in there, sometimes when we get stuck in there, it's like it just becomes our dogma or our label or something you want to stick on you and you say, I am now it, versus having the experience, you know. Sometimes people get so stuck in there that they can't see any other way and how to get through that. You know, it's interesting, on your chapter on the purpose of life, I wrote on the top that life, you know, sometimes people take life and they put labels on it, you know, and then they take their life purpose and they consider it philosophical, but then they go about it in a mechanistic way to accomplish something, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you really look at that, that's three totally different concepts, and then how that meshes together is the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you were saying that, the thought that came to me is whenever I ask my coaching clients how they want to be remembered, after everything is said and done, they can be on their deathbed, it doesn't really matter, but how do you want to be remembered? And they'll tell me all of these things, not about things that they did, but about who they were. They were a kind person. They were loving. They were generous. They were grateful.
Right.
They were all of these things. Well, living in full expression, that is taking those things, and then everything you do in life, that's I'm just going to sound weird, that's who you be. You know, you want to be that person. So your life purpose isn't about your job. It's not about the art you might create, although that's an expression that would be coming through you, but it's about who you are as you're going through this process that we call life. So I would just suggest people that they identify, how do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be perceived by the world? And then start living in full expression of whatever those words are that would describe who you want to be. And you'll find life becomes so much more enjoyable. Now you're intentional about it. You're not just waiting to see what shows up and then acting or reacting to that situation that might show up. You're always looking for ways to be that kind person. You're always looking for ways to express and experience that gratitude for all that you've been given.
And it's also, too, about that becomes you. It's not that you go out and you say, I'm going to be kind, as sort of like an action. It almost is you. Do you know what I mean? Same thing with the word love. You know, you don't go out and say, I'm going to love that person. No, you're just unconditional love. Two different concepts, especially when people think that things are outside of themselves rather than within them.
No, I agree with that. If we say we are going to do something, that puts it further out from us, and it's not the expression we're having right now. So it to me, it also sounds like there's work involved, whereas instead, I can just say, I am loving. And then that becomes one of my mantras, if you will, or if you want to say it's a positive affirmation, I am loving. And as I continue to repeat that, that's going to be my expression in the world. It'll be how I interact with other people and how people perceive me and how they would appreciate me and, I think, relate with me.
You know, you talk about your four pillars of life in the book. One's non-judgment. You know, when I think about that, I just had a show this morning with quantum physicists, and we were talking about, in quantum physics, by the mere judgment or perception of something, it really, that's what gives it identity and existence. So then we say, is that judgment? And then really, in essence it is, but in essence it isn't, because you're giving it identity, but then what you do from there is your judgment. Yes?
Yes. Everything, and really looking at it from a quantum physics standpoint, and I'm not a quantum physicist, but I understand the concept. And there's been tons of experiments that have been done to prove that things become once they're observed.
Right.
So if someone is making a statement about a judgment, or if they're judging something, then it becomes that. And actually, it was Einstein, I think, that said he was one of the first people to really get involved in quantum physics with what was the guy's name? Planck is the father of
Max Planck.
That type of Max Planck, right. And so what Einstein said at one time, he said, I would like to believe that if I turn around, the moon is still hanging in the air. Because looking at it from the perspective of we have to observe it, if he's not looking at the moon, then the question is the moon really there?
Right.
And it's just a very interesting way to look at it. But so many experiments have been done to prove that we as the observers actually create the existence of whatever it is that we're observing or experiencing.
Yeah. And it takes it down to, it really lets a lot of the other stuff off the hook. In other words, you know, there's so much, when we have to decide or discuss about a topic, it's like there's so much text that can be written about it. But when you just take it back to that quantum time, it's sort of like, see this, yes, okay, it's now existing. Do you know what I mean? In other words, if we take it back right to the beginning, it can let us go of all of these other encyclopedias of trying to verify it, justify it, the regular scientific theory. We have to make sure it's reproducible, all this other stuff. It kind of lets us off the hook in a way to have trust. It also lends towards believing. It also lends towards faith, you know, being able to have those things that aren't quantifiable all the time, right?
Yes, I agree with that. It does let us off the hook in a certain way. However, it also, if we're looking at it realistically, it also means that we need to take responsibility for it. So whatever we're observing, whatever we're experiencing, we have to understand that we are creating that experience. And a lot of people don't want to take responsibility for anything that happens in their lives. They want to push it off on somebody else. So that's where the judgments come in, and where blame and criticisms and everything else we might project from within us to the outside world. But if I take responsibility for what's happening around me, for my feelings, my thoughts, and my beliefs, and I know that I can change them anytime I want, and I change them to reflect what I desire to have or who I desire to be in this world, then those things outside of me are going to start to be a reflection of that. And life will change for me. It doesn't mean it's going to change everybody else's life, but it's going to change life for me as I perceive it now in a totally different way than I did before.
You know, I think of that. I had an acquaintance, and every single day, he would always complain about the weather. It was too hot, it was too cold, the sun was out, it was cloudy, it was going to rain, blah, blah, blah. And every single day I would get up and I would say, oh, it's a great day. It's going to rain today. I love rain. It's going to be cold today. Oh, I love it's cold. Oh, it's going to be hot today. Oh, I love change. You know what I mean? And I changed it. And it took probably about 10 years for this person of hearing something other than what they were saying all the time to be able to stop in their tracks and just not spew out their stuff. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, I think it took another 5 or 6 years, and they eventually just listened to what you had to say versus giving that answer. So I think that while we say that we kind of are understanding, maybe we are engaging, creating, or doing the dance in something that really doesn't serve us or doesn't serve the whole or doesn't honor others just as well as yourself, then maybe we need to make a little bit of a shift. And it does take a while for some, although others, it could take an instant, don't you think?
I do. And one of the things that I speak about in the book and other things that I do, webinars and seminars and things of that nature, is practicing awareness. And that encompasses becoming aware of the thoughts that we hold, the beliefs that we hold, and questioning them. And then asking the question, just as you just said, does this still serve me? in terms of wanting to live the life the way that I want to live life, or in being the person that I want to be, or how I want to be perceived in the world. And if we become aware of those, in this case, negative thoughts that are continuously running through our mind and then being put out into the world through our spoken word, then we can see that that's creating a less than perfect or less than comfortable world for the individual, and that all they have to do is change a perspective. And it's about becoming aware of the fact that, yes, it's going to rain today, and maybe it's going to interrupt your picnic, but it's also going to make the grass grow green, the trees grow green, the flowers grow, which is going to create this incredibly beautiful environment that we get to experience the next day or after the rain, or we get to experience this gorgeous rainbow that came as a result of the rain, which wouldn't have been there had it not rained. So it's just about becoming aware of all of these things that are above and beyond what we might be perceiving in the moment or be feeling because of how we feel that this rain is going to impact us negatively.
You know, if we look back on it, we could never have this conversation you and I are having today, even 5 to 10 years ago. If we look back on eons, we say, there were great philosophers. They built all of those great pyramids and everything. Then we came along and we had the cowboys and Indians, and they couldn't even get out of their own way, you know? And then now we're into the internet, and we say, where is really life going? I think the idea is that we have been experiencing so much so quickly that there's so much open to us. The conversation we're having today is an opportunity for others to say, you know, that's cool. I see that. And then maybe they'll listen to it again. They'll say, oh, cool. I can change something. Oh, cool. I'd love to, you know, hear more about that. So I really think it's about creating ripple effects in the world. And right now we're at the peak time of where those ripples are really starting to hit people, where they're hearing those words more often: awareness, mindfulness, unconditional love, being able to give back to the earth. You know, like I said, 10 years ago, we wouldn't have thought of this, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting to me because the term that's used now or was used 10 years ago, moving into the time we're in right now, is New Age.
Right.
And New Age wisdom or New Age information. And yet, as you mentioned, when you mentioned the title of my book, it says Ancient Wisdom for a Modern World. Mm-hmm. Nothing that we're doing and nothing that we're hearing and nothing that we're sharing is new. It's always been there. It's been available to everybody who was open and receptive to it. And you mentioned the internet. Well, the internet has become the mystery schools that were how you learned this information back in those ancient times. When we look at the philosophers, and even during religious times, I mean, way back in 2,000 years ago, there was wisdom schools, as there are still today, and that's following that same tradition. But we can get so much of that information that was only available through wisdom schools on the internet now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the unfortunate thing is too many people feel that it's a lot of hoax. There are a lot of people who are putting information out there that's not true, that they are trying to take advantage of people. Yeah, so you have to be discerning in the information that you allow in and what resonates with you. But that's also part of the process I would suggest people go through, which is always questioning what you believe to make sure that what you believe is true for you, but also being open and receptive to the fact that it might not be true tomorrow. Just understand that it was true to this moment, but it doesn't mean it is the truth. There's always something else that's going to come along that can change our perspective.
You know, we talk about the words unconditional love in your book, and people say, what really is that? And we talk about love. People think that it takes another person or it takes another thing that you have to, something from you has to go to them, and then you have to get something from them and receive it, and then that's, quote, love. You know, I saw this on, someone had posted the other day, and I had said to them, I says, unconditional love does not require a response of a validation or another person to receive. It's just something that goes outward, and it is, versus having to go out, you know, action and reaction kind of idea, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I do. And one of the things that I have put in my book, and this is a distinction I make, and I'm going to suggest that there isn't any such thing as unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I say that is because if we use the term unconditional love, then we're saying the possibility of conditional love exists. Right. And I don't believe there is conditional love. Now, we can say that I will love you if you do this or if this happens or that happens, but that's not real love. That's somebody trying to manipulate mm-hmm. somebody else. So to me, love is as love is. You either love or you don't love.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that you have to have that affection towards another person the way that we think about it in romantic love and any kind of a relationship that we might have. We've all experienced love. It's that... And it's I can't describe the feeling. Nobody can describe the feeling, but we know when we're having that experience of love, and it's not necessarily towards another person. It can be when you are standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon and you're looking out and it brings you to tears. It is that incredible feeling of connectedness, of the energy, the flow of energy, everything that could possibly come through us that would make us feel joy is the energy of love. And so when I stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon, I have that deep sense of love going through me, at least what I would describe as love. But that doesn't mean that it's about another person, and yet right. that exists. And I think when we think about unconditional love, it's just about loving everything. It's not mm-hmm. about saying I love this or that. Now, you know, there is romantic love, and there is all these different, I don't want to say types of love, but labels that we put on love so that we can differentiate between how we're feeling about one person versus another. You know, you might love your mother and your father differently than you might love your wife or your husband. And obviously it's just a different feeling that you would have in a different relationship. But I think the underlying force of love is still the same.
You know, it's interesting when we were talking about this. Many times my intuition is like spot on 99% of the time. And there'll be times I'll be sitting here and all of a sudden it's just, that you get this overwhelming energy force. And it's like, where did that come from? I don't know. And you just feel like your heart is, almost like in How the Grinch Stole Christmas or what, I think that was it. Heart expands how many times kind of idea. And you could feel it. It's sort of like your heart just radiates things out. And you might come to tears. You might start to shake. You might get cold. You might this, you might that. You might none of that. But you can feel that energy source. And I tend to get that quite probably a few times a day on different instances and situations because I'm so much in tune with certain things. But many people say, I've never experienced that. And I would beg to differ. I think that people just don't recognize it as that. In other words, we want to say, and then now if someone looking in the outside would say, you must have just watched a sad movie. What's the matter? Or, what's wrong with you? Are you having a down day? Or, what happened? Did you lose your dog? You know, kind of idea. When it's really, can someone just have an experience and an energy sense within their body where they're just feeling that moment of whatever that is and not have a label on it? You know what I mean? And we have to remember that it's the others that are putting the label on it, so it's their issue. It's not yours because you're having this experience. And how judgmental I think we are as humans, you know what I'm saying? To go around and point fingers and identify it all the time. You know, sometimes people, you'll see a man sit down and watch a movie, and he might be sitting there just, you know, crying like crazy. We'll say, what did it to you in the movie? Nothing did it to you in the movie. You just looked, and somewhere inside of you, something connected, and you just had a feeling, period, simple. Let it go, right?
Right. Yeah, the four pillars, non-judgment to me is the key, because if we could live our lives non-judgmentally, then we would experience that thing called unconditional love. We would experience forgiveness because there would be nothing to forgive. We wouldn't be judging anybody on what they might have done or that we perceive that they did to us.
Mm-hmm.
We would still have gratitude, but non-judgment would just mean also if it's unconditional love, we'd be grateful for everything anyway. And there wouldn't have to be anything that we would have to do to express it. It would just be a part of who we are. We would honor and appreciate and accept every person for who they are. We would allow them to be who they are, just as we would want them to allow us to be who we are. And we do. We judge each other. We judge ourselves more than we
right.
judge anybody else. And that's perhaps the key to that whole pillar, is to become non-judgmental of ourselves. And then if we accept and appreciate and love ourselves fully, we'll find that we're not as judgmental in the outward world as we currently are. Because then there isn't that measurement that we're making of ourselves against everything else out there.
Right. And, you know, and this just ends up showing up, you know. And then sometimes when we talk about forgiveness, it's almost like there's a right and a wrong. There's a truth and a lie. There's a belief and a falsehood and a reality and an illusion. Like, in other words, it's always this black and white kind of issue when really nothing is ever perfect. So if we understood that nothing is ever perfect and everything is an experience and everything is just... It is, period. There's, you know, and it's not even a dot, dot, dot. It is, and then a comma, 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 you know, kind of idea. And then we wouldn't need the idea of forgiveness, and we wouldn't need the idea of gratitude. It would just be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where that's where your point of just love just would emanate from. Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
Yeah. When you were saying that, the quote that's been attributed to Jesus, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do,"
mm-hmm.
has been attributed to him for
mm-hmm.
meaning that it was against the people that were during his time when he was about to be crucified and all of those things. And to me, the real meaning of that was for all of us. Forgive one another, forgive ourselves, because we don't know what we do. And that's
right.
Because if we think about ourselves in the true spirit, and I'm using that term intentionally, the true spirit of who we are, which is an extension of the divine, then
right.
we already know all the things that we do, but we've forgotten when we enter the earth plane. And
right.
so we're doing all of these things based on the conditioning that we've gone through, based on
mm-hmm.
the circumstances, based on the limiting beliefs we hold, based on all this stuff that we, for one reason or another, have agreed to experiment with. And that's pretty much
mm-hmm.
what we're doing. So if we get to the point where we're just saying that we forgive them for they know not what they do, it's the same thing for us. They do truly know what they're doing. And the reason they don't know what they're doing is because they've forgotten who they truly are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point of my book, is helping people get to that truth and then living in full expression of their truth.
Right, and I think that's where I was getting with when I explained, you know, that last situation was that's a closer existence of that,
mm-hmm.
of that truth, because it just doesn't show up. You know, people would say to me, I would say something like, "Oh my gosh, my knee today," or something, and I would like my knee would be hurting or whatever, and they'd tell them, and someone would come up, you know, with this new age kind of thing, and they're saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry for your suffering." And I'm going, "What does that word mean? I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I'm not suffering. I'm just saying my knee hurts today." You know what I mean? And it's just the reporting of something. And it's just, I think we're all getting and learning. I've said before, probably 10 years ago, that we were learning a new language. Pretty much we were just putting the words together about 5 years ago. Now I think people are learning how to put those words into sentences, and they're experimenting with how it fits or doesn't fit for them. And eventually it will just become the norm. It'll just be a little bit longer to be able to get to that place where some of these things don't exist, you know. If you even look at something as simple as this, if you look back on the 50s and 60s when highways were first built, you know, I can remember it. Then they had drive-thrus, you know, the drive-thru food, fast food. And people would drive through, they go out on the highway for their ride, and they throw their stuff out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then in the 70s and 80s, there used to be signs on the highway that you would get fined if they caught you throwing your stuff out on the window.
Mm-hmm.
Then those signs came down in the 90s because people didn't do it anymore. And now it wouldn't even enter our consciousness that we would open a window and throw something out the window. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So I guess it's this is how things progress. This is how they have progressed in the past. And it's just being able to recognize that for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do also with, you've got this huge mass of people called baby boomers. You've got this other huge mass following the baby boomers. And I think there at some point there became a recognition that we are contributing to the world at large, and that we do have shared responsibility in the way that life unfolds on a global basis. I also think that people get to the point where they say there's got to be more to life than what I've experienced so far.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I don't mean that life has been bad for people. It just means that even though I've had this life that I've lived to this moment, there's something within me that still wants to be experienced and expressed. Right. And we recognize that all of us have that, and it's our responsibility to allow it to be out, to become aware of it and conscious of it, and then give it that freedom to come out. So I think what you're talking about is all of that. It's the awareness that people are now starting to have that they can do something about the way the world is, the way their own lives are unfolding, and making better decisions as we move forward. Now, there's still a lot of stupid stuff happening in the world, and unfortunately it's happening on a global basis, and it's certainly happening in the United States. But I think a lot of that is coming to the surface because it's being cleansed. It's stuff that had to come up for us to be able to deal with it effectively.
And also,
I think it's going to get a little bit worse before it gets better, but I think we're in that process.
Also, too, the idea that people have secrets, they live a life of secrets. Almost you could see that through history, you know. What exists in my home doesn't have to get out on the streets kind of idea. But really now people are starting to let go of the walls that bind them, I call it. And, you know, even in your book, you say about the relevance of what we desire to share. You know, it's about being able to, what are you willing to share about your experience so that others might be able to also just kind of hear it or resonate with it or understand it. You know, the idea of this is our sentence and, you know, this is how we communicate a little bit differently and how things can be better going forward. Sometimes when you don't share that, people don't even know it. If we think back when television came on, you know, everybody said, oh gosh, look at how they dress. I need to up my dress. Look at this is how people cook. I need to start cooking better, you know, or this is how they take care of their home. Now my house has to be better. Then the internet came up and they said, now we have a choice of saying yes or no, or have some varying ideas, or to hear ideas across the globe versus just our local library. So we're really, it's about expanding all of this ideas and thoughts so others can pick and choose and expand theirs even further, don't you think?
I do. But I think that's true. But I think the challenge still is that there is so much information coming at us that it's becoming more and more difficult for people to make choices based on how they want to be experienced in the world, how they want to be perceived in the world was the word I was looking for. And so we're trying to be all these things that we're not, when in fact all we need to be is who we already are and allow that truth of who we are to come out. And I think this was part of the point that you were making, and that is the more that we live in our own truth, sharing with other people through our existence, it doesn't mean we have to do anything, but just how we're being in relation with other people, the more we are that way, we're giving people permission to be the same way.
Right.
So we're demonstrating to them it's okay to be real. It's okay to be authentic. It's okay to live in your truth and to be the unique person that you are. And if everybody would do that, we wouldn't have all this competition. We wouldn't have all this ridiculous amounts of money being spent to keep up with the person next door because of what we perceive to be success or what we perceive to be necessary to fit in with everybody else.
And also, to the real concepts of science is that things have got to come to a point. Things need to build up behind something to then be able to collapse that concept or that idea, you know. So a lot of these issues that are coming up across the globe and across with people right now do need, in a sense, to come to a head, and then you say, that's it, boom, and then they're gone, and then they don't show up in the next generation. You know, we look at the ideas of sexual harassment, you know, how that has come out into the open, when really we're still looking at the very end of it and the results of it to some people, but we really haven't even gone back to the thing is that if a 57-year-old man is involved with sexual harassment, really we need to go back and look at how was he raised, what was going on then, what was the story then, and then you have to take it back even further. In other words, there's always something to go back to, but if we can just keep pushing it up in the front end, it'll collapse on itself and we'll say no longer. And then they don't raise their kids like that. Their kids are raised better and loving and caring and honoring themselves and valuing the world they're in versus, you know, a dog-eat-dog world, don't you think?
Right. Yes, and that's about taking responsibility for your own life. If somebody in my family or I'll just use myself. If I were accused of sexual harassment, it's some, and let's say I'm aware of it. Well, I can't do anything about it unless I'm aware of it. So if I become aware of it, then I can make a choice that this is not the way that I should be. This is not the way I want to be perceived in the world. This really doesn't feel good to me. I'm only doing it because it makes me feel powerful, or that it gives me some sense of credibility, if you will. And that's probably not the right word to use for that subject matter, but it's always about making myself feel better or more in control or better than someone else. And it has to come to the surface before we can do anything about it. And in the case of sexual harassment right now, the problem is there is years and years and years and years and years, and who knows how many years of abuse that there has been, but it's now coming to a head where it can finally be dealt with. And it's being dealt with very openly. And we're seeing powerful people, you know, heads rolling and powerful people being taken down. And I think it's going to continue. But it is going to be a matter of, now that we see this happening, as you said, parents now talking to their sons and their daughters about this topic and about the appropriate way to interact with one another. And also it's about self-esteem. It's about them feeling good about themselves, the children, that is, and not feeling this need to be a bully, or to which sexual harassment is a bullying sort of thing as well. But understanding that it's not about having to do anything to other people to feel good about yourself, or to get ahead in life, or to be powerful.
Let's talk for a second about the principle of non-attachment that you have in your book. That's a perfect example of what we're in the conversation in which we are right now, is about detaching from things. Non-attachment, about attaching to labels, attaching to power, attaching to materialism or to other people. Or also, let's talk about non-attachment is also, attachments can be to something like an experience. You could be attached to being a victim. You can be attached to being less than. You could be attached to some kind of dogma or religion. You could be attached to anything. And then how do you live to be non-attached?
Well, that's the challenge. That is one of the more difficult things that I think we as humans have to deal with, but it's also one of the most rewarding things that we can do. Well, we start to let go of labels. We start to realize that those things that we hold as important are not who we are, and they don't necessarily identify who we are. Now, other people may look at somebody who has a lot of money and hold them in high esteem because they have a whole lot of money, but that doesn't mean that person's not a jerk. It doesn't mean that person's happy. It doesn't mean that person's life is as fulfilling as it could be. So it's a matter of just realizing that everything in this world is impermanent. And in fact, when I keep referring back to Jesus, but Jesus made a statement that be as a passerby when you're living on the earth plane, when you're living in human form. And that means go through life appreciating and loving and enjoying and embracing everything that life's had to offer, but don't become attached to any of it. Don't allow it to become an identity of who you are, because it's not who you are. We're in this world, but not of this world. And enjoy it, embrace it, all of those wonderful things that we have the opportunity to do. But recognize that after everything is said and done and you take your last breath, none of that stuff that you thought was important is important anymore. And it actually never was important, but we give it importance because of the value we place on it based on how we think it makes us stack up against everybody else.
You know, my husband sells life insurance, and he went to his client's house one day and all this stuff was all the people were out in the front, and they said, the person he was coming to get their money from that day had just passed away that day. And he said, and went on his way and did what he needed to do to close the case. And then the next day he came out to bring them the papers, and a woman's stuff was already out on the street, you know. So I think that we get so attached to stuff, and we give up things that we should probably pay attention to, like eating, to be able to be cared for, be able to love and be loved, be able to have engaging relationships, being around other people. We get so attached to other things that we forget those things are important. We end up in homes that we're struggling to keep and, you know, you're not even able to eat, or people being left alone because others don't want to care for them, you know. There's so much loneliness these days. There's so much... the elders are just kind of, almost anyone over the age of 65 is experiencing this in some way with one or more of their relatives, is that they're just left. It's kind of, oh, yeah, well, we visit them once a year, you know, and you're going, my gosh, once a year, you know, could you live with just seeing a human being once a year, you know? And I think it's really the idea of what is really the purpose of life, and do we really want to be living, you know, old elders will say to you, I don't want to live longer. You know, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to sit in my house for the next 40 years, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's about also having all of these thoughts and all of this go on in your head and the world around you and seeing it all and trying to make some sense of it, you know, and trying to do the best you can each day. I think that's what it is be aware, see where you can help, see where you can love others, you can share, you can care for others. And also, when you don't have that, ask for love, ask for care, ask for help, ask for support. And that's what keeps the circle going full circle versus always having it broken, don't you think?
I do. And all of what you just said starts with loving ourselves, appreciating, mm-hmm. respecting, honoring ourselves, because it's very difficult, and we hear this all the time, but I do believe it's true. It's very difficult for us to be able to extend something to other people that we don't hold and have for ourselves. And we get back to judgment. That's where judgment comes in.
Right.
But if I take care of myself, then I'm in a better position to take care of other people. If I honor and respect myself by eating well and I'm more energetic and I'm healthier, then that gives me more opportunity to be able to share who I am and what I'm capable of doing with other people. So you're benefiting them in that way. It's always a matter of, well, let me just say this. I struggled for a long time with trying to come up with why we're here on this planet. And I know it's mm-hmm. a question that people have asked since day one. And it's, you know, why are we, what's the purpose of life? Not what is your life purpose, but what is the purpose of life? And a phrase was given to me during one of my morning walks that really resonated with me. So it's what I hold on to right now as the truth for me that helps me get through the day and understand when a difficult situation or what I refer to as a challenging opportunity might present itself to me. I look at it because it's another opportunity for me to experience and express myself within the context of that challenging opportunity. But how I look at life and how I identify the purpose of life, our very reason for being here, any of us being here, it's for the progressive realization of the truth of who we are. So everything that happens in life is about revealing to us our truth. So even through those difficult times, even through those magnificent times, it's an opportunity for us to get back in touch with who we truly are. Not who we think we are, not who other people think we are, and not trying to keep up with anybody else. It is about dropping all those labels and all those identities that we think are important, and they're not. So it's a progressive realization of the truth of who we are. And then our life purpose, as I mentioned earlier, is living in full expression of that truth. So through this progressive realization, we gain more and more of the truth of who we are, and then we live in that truth on a daily basis, constantly building on that. So we become more and more aware of who we are. We live more and more in and from that truth, and we have a greater and much more expanded experience of who we are and what we're capable of doing.
And I think as we get older, we have to realize that things shape and shift and they change. I know I've been in healthcare for 45 plus years now, and I've seen it change drastically. And I've been in many parts of the health and wellness professions. I've been a dental hygienist, volunteer, addiction care, naturopathic medicine, all these different ones. And really what I came to recently, I said, I'm just discovering the mystery of the human condition. I'm just discovering the mystery of the body. I'm just looking at things from a different perspective. I'm on a search. I'm just a seeker. I'm just that person. And it's really just I'm out to experience life and just to bring, you know, bring love to everybody that's there. Because if we, and you know, and you said this right in your beginning of your book, which I'll get to in a second, but I can remember very, very early in my life, being outside in the backyard at my house and very cold, curled up in the corner underneath a bush, probably about 2 or 3 years old. And I was hungry and it was cold and it was wet and I was, you know, locked out for the day. And I do distinctly remember an angel handing me radishes from the yard to eat and the water hose for water to drink. Distinctly remember that. And I've had millions of these instances throughout my life. I think those are the ones in which we understand life is a miracle. We understand that there's something bigger than just the I, the us. And we also understand and want to give and share those senses and feelings with others so that they can recognize it in their life. You know, exactly when you talk in the beginning of the book, you said about, I had it underlined. Hold on. When you said in the beginning of the book, you will be doing this one day also, you know, at church. And when we see and feel and sense and hear those messages, to be able to give them value, to be able to say that's something to be, you know, have deep gratitude for, and just to sense what that felt like. And that was really unconditional love. And it really had no attachment because it came and it went and it was an experience in your existence, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when those things happen, because of the way we've been programmed in our current life, we look at those experiences and we don't want to believe they're true, or
right.
we question whether or not they're true. So we don't act on them. They're there though. They
mm-hmm.
once you've had the experience, you can't undo it. You had mm-hmm. the experience. Now you may question whether or not it really happened. And that's what I did when I was 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking around and it was like, did this really happen? Because nobody else seemed to see or hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it was now embedded in me. There was nothing
right.
I could do to get rid of it. And I can look back on my life and see where I made a lot of decisions from that point forward that have led me to be where I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say they were conscious decisions to get to where I am, but I'm going to say that because of that seed being planted at that time, subconsciously I was making those decisions that brought me to where I am right now doing the work that I do.
So I think there are no mistakes in life. There is just experiencing life. And I don't think that with God or life source or the universal source or whatever you want to put for your label or your description or your definer of your life is to say that no one's going to lead you down a wrong road. You know, you may be leading down a road of further experience or maybe to check out something else, or you may be the road you may be on, maybe just something that has to come through and all of it rise up so that you can look at it a little differently. And then it'll collapse on itself and it goes away. But there really is not an intent to be malicious in life, you know. Life is not meant to be a bad thing. Life is meant to be truly, truly to look at it in a different way, I think, maybe what people are trying to search for, don't you think?
Yeah, and depending upon someone's depth of belief in the spirit world, I happen to believe that all of us who are incarnated right now, we chose to be here at this particular point in time. We knew while we were in spirit world what we were getting into, because I believe we've lived many, many lives before. We know the difficulty and challenges of being in the human form. We know of all the experiences we're going to create, and yet it's one of the greatest choices that we ever make in our existence, is to come back here and have these experiences. So I think that if we could understand that and really be able to accept that we made a choice to be here for these experiences, and that all the experiences that we have are for our benefit, and getting
mm-hmm.
back to what I believe our life purpose is, the benefit of getting to know who we are fully, completely,
right.
and wholly, and then being able to live through that truth. And to me, that's the expansion process and the ascension process, where
mm-hmm.
as we go through all these experiences, we become aware of who we are, we live from that new awareness and that truth, we rise in consciousness, we become more aware of where we are, and it's that, you know, we call it a stair step, if you will. And it's just that process. And that's what I mean by the progressive realization of the truth of who we are. Everything that happens is another opportunity to realize more fully who we are and what we're capable of doing.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, we've come to the end of our time today, and I just realized it. Can you share a little with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That'd be wonderful.
Sure. I have a website. It is livinginfullexpression.com. All of my contact information is on there, so if anybody wishes to connect with me or communicate with me directly, they can do so through my website. I have different events that I put on pretty much on an ongoing basis now. They can find the events and the events calendar on my website. I also have a blog that I publish every 2 weeks, so there's information that they can receive about some of the ideas and thoughts, and actually what I call it is thoughts, musings, and updates is the title of all the things that I put out there. And it's really just about helping people open themselves to life and understanding that they're actually what's on my website. When you first go on it, you're going to see a quote on there that says, there is no right path or wrong path. There's your path. Follow it.
Right.
And that's really what you just said. It's yeah. not about anybody following somebody else because it looks like a better way to go. That path was that person's path. Your path is your path. No matter what decision you make, that decision and the resulting consequences is now a part of your path. It's not like you've wandered off anywhere. It's still your path. You have one path you're on, and you have all these different opportunities for different experiences. And when we become conscious of that and we become aware of and clear on what it is we want to experience and express in the world, we start making choices that allow those things to unfold. So that's what my website's about, information that would help someone open themselves more to the truth of who they are.
Well, Jim, it has been such a pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Jim Phillips, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page, and you'll go directly to his website. Please do sign up for his newsletter, and you'll always be able to find out about his blog postings and his events, and also about his book, The Key to Life, Living a Full Expression, Ancient Wisdom for a Modern World. And it really is that if you feel like your road is just like, I don't know, sometimes people would say to me, my road feels like I'm just, you know, spewing it all out behind me. I'm just like roadkill. You know, I don't know what's going on. It's about time to stop. Just get off the highway, pull up your chair, sit down, and just start and just wait. Just wait, because the answers will come to you and the progression will come to you. And the time will come to you when it is right. It's not about forcing you to do something differently or saying, this is a template and this is the way you have to do it because, or come over here, I'm going to fix you. There's no fixing, there's no solution, there's no template. It's just about your experience. So just get off the highway, pull up your chair, have a seat. It'll come to you. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.